going down, down, down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Glad you can join us as Marketplace continues to look at the fallout from the financial crisis. Fall being the key word this morning. Stock markets from here to Hong Kong are sinking deeper. A lot of investors are getting margin calls, and they have to sell. Other investors still have little confidence in company profits, and they want to sell. Plus, there's new concern about the value of the Japanese yen, and Asian investors really unloaded today. In Japan, the Nikkei fell 6% to its lowest level since 1982. Hong Kong shares fell almost 13%. In Europe so far, 2-4% losses. At this point, the Dow is down 100 points to 8281. The NASDAQ is down 22. And the S&P 500 has fallen 11 in early trading. Now let's dig into the first aid kit and see what's available this week. The Treasury will spend the first $125 billion from the rescue package. Last night, the government signed deals with 9 banks to buy their stock. The Fed will decide whether to cut interest rates again this week. Joining us now, our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale. John, where's the Fed leaning at this point?
The Fed's worried. They're hoping that lower interest rates will free up spending, prime the pump, encourage businesses to borrow, to invest in projects and buy equipment, create jobs. The experts are expecting another half point drop in the rate that banks borrow from each other over the short term. That's pretty low. The rate's now 1.5%. The Fed is signaling that it could make even more cuts in the future. You know, they're trying to show that they're going to be very aggressive in attacking some bleak economic conditions.
Was anyone raising a flag here and saying lowering interest rates is really not a good idea at this point?
Yes. You know, this is down in territory where they rarely go. Some people say that they're just pushing on a string, that they can't get banks to lend to each other, and that this isn't doing any good.
Now, what about the rest of the economic picture this week? I know there are quite a few economic indicators coming out. What are we likely to see?
Yes, we get an overall gauge of the economy on Thursday when the gross domestic product figure comes out, and that's expected to show that the economy is actually contracting, that we are likely in a recession now and have been since the summer. Companies have been reporting very weak sales, low to non-existent profits. Retailers are bracing themselves for a gloomy Christmas, as consumers won't be in a spending mood, you know.
Lots of holly jolly stuff there, John.
Yeah.
All right, John Dimsdale in Washington, thanks.
Thank you, Scott.
Well, at least gas will be cheaper for the holidays. The price of oil fell below $62 a barrel this morning. We haven't seen that in 18 months. And the price of food, corn in particular, is crashing as well. Steve Henn has more on that.
In the era of ethanol, corn isn't just a food, it's a transportation fuel that tracks the price of oil. Bruce Babcock's an agricultural economist at Iowa State University.
Corn has fallen in almost lockstep with the price of crude oil.
When oil was up around $150 a barrel, a bushel of corn cost around $7.50. Now it's less than half that.
This certainly is a very good news for developing countries where they eat a lot of corn, and they're importing a lot of corn from the U.S.
Corinne Alexander is an economist at Purdue. She says U.S. consumers may not see prices drop in grocery stores so quickly. Babcock agrees.
There's a significant lag into supermarket prices.
Grain prices are just a small part of the cost of most processed foods in the U.S. And high prices for grains this summer may mean U.S. meat prices will continue to rise through Christmas. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Monday, October 27th on Marketplace.org. I should mention one other thing the Fed is doing this week. Even the most rock-solid companies can't find takers for their IOUs, so the Fed is stepping in to buy them. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
Already, such corporate giants as General Electric and American Express are planning to take the Fed up on its offer. Stephen Wesselkamper watches the short-term credit markets for Victory Capital Management. He says it's desperately needed relief for cash-strapped businesses. They've had trouble finding buyers for the so-called commercial paper, short-term IOUs, to finance their day-to-day operations.
These issuers now have a buyer, and where maybe the Fed had been the lender of last resort, now they're becoming the lender of first resort.
While investors are still giving this kind of debt an icy reception, Michael Holland of Holland & Company says there are already signs of a thaw.
Simply the announcement of it has actually unclogged to some extent the system, and I think we're going to see the fruits of those actions.
Many companies have had no choice but to borrow against lines of credit issued by banks, generally much more expensive. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
We've started a new series called Here's What I'm Doing. We're asking people from all walks of life, all income levels, how they're coping with the financial crisis.
I'm Steve Forbes, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Forbes Media and Editor-in-Chief of Forbes Magazine. What am I doing with my money now is just examining in terms of equities. Is this where I want to stay? Does this have real prospects in the future? And which companies are likely to prosper, at least survive the turbulence that we see short term? I remember living through the 1970s when the stock market in real terms went down, where the future looked bleak, but this country always comes back. In terms of financial assets, if you're in the market, you will take a hit. And you just have to remind yourself, emotions are your enemy. But this is not the time to bail out. The government is now doing some sensible things to get these things back on their feet. And so you don't have the panic that you had a few weeks ago where you wondered, where is a safe place to keep my cash? Even if you keep it at home, maybe the mice will eat it. Not the kind of panic that you had, sheer panic. We're over that.
While the U.S. and Europe are giving boatloads of money to banks, China is sitting comfortably atop a great wall of cash. What everybody wants to know is, what's China going to do with all that money? Marketplace's Scott Tong has this report from Shanghai.
Should China swoop in like a superhero and save the world from the clutches of recession? After all, Beijing's $1.9 trillion in foreign reserves would go a long way toward bailouts or investments just when the market needs them. Ask around Shanghai, and Mr. Feng, the noodle shop owner, says bad idea.
We have our own problems, and why rescue evil America? It sticks its nose in our political business.
In the other corner, MBA student Lin Yang.
The financial system is like the human heart. If it has problems, eventually the rest of the body will too. The U.S. is the world's heart. If it suffers, it will spread to China.
So what would rescue actually mean? First, let's get one thing clear. China is already massively in the U.S. market. It's invested hundreds of billions of dollars in treasury bonds. The question is whether Beijing gets out of those bonds and into American stocks. Michael McCormack is with the financial consultancy ZBen Advisors. He expects China to diversify slowly, since this money has to be around for 50, even 100 years.
These sovereign wealth funds were created to fund the future retirement needs for the population. It's the rainy day money. You don't gamble with the rainy day money.
China has other reasons to be gun-shy. It wants to step softly to avoid political heat from Washington. And Beijing is new at this. Last year, it invested $8 billion in Morgan Stanley and private equity giant Blackstone. Both those stocks have lost more than 50%. Frank Song teaches finance at Hong Kong University. He thinks China's risk aversion means it will get in late.
You may lose a lot of opportunities, but stability outweighs profitable return.
So don't crane your neck looking for a financial superman. Think Clark Kent in slow-mo, shuffling over to the phone booth. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
If you want to dig a little deeper, we have some great explainers and blogs about the financial fallout on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.